coach tonight, Jillian and Janet. Okay. Jillian's first. This is her card. Did everybody get a card? Are there extras? Let's keep that a going. Keep it going. Do you know Haven Hamilton died? Henry Gibson? Did you know?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. It was sad.
Mary Travers.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. You get the news out there?
I didn't hear.
Oh, you have?
I didn't hear.
Oh, yeah. We don't get news in New York.
She's been traveling.
Travel?
That's my news vacation. Same here. I didn't know either.
Oh.
We're on the road,
folks. Okay, Jillian, this is your book. Comfort in Distressed Landscape, Jillian Weissa and her oeuvre. Published in Buenos Aires, South Carolina. By Who the Hell Are You Press, date unknown. Call number PS3623.E57A3 2009. Subject headings, irreverence, use of, poetry, Epiphanies, Everyday, Study and Teaching, 21st Century. Jillian Weissa is just back from a Fulbright to Argentina, where she worked with Darwin's Notebooks and helped translate Bob Dylan's first novel into Spanish. Is that Bob Dylan, the singer? Okay. That's a stupid question. Her books are Translating the Body, The Amputee's Guide to Sex, and The Colony, which is a novel forthcoming, or out.
Forthcoming.
She teaches workshops and seminars at Clemson University. Here's Jillian.
Thank you. You're welcome. Hi, everyone. Thanks to Summer and for all of you guys for coming out. I asked Summer if I could read just a tiny little bit from this novel that I worked on in Argentina, and she said, you have to sign a contract saying that first and foremost you are a poet, this is a poetry series after all, but then you may read very briefly from the novel. So this is, the novel is called The Colony. The Colony is set in Cold Spring Harbor's New York at Cold Spring Harbor Labs, where the, yes, Chris here is representing for Cold Spring Harbor. I have to tell you guys a story. I'll be really quick. I was at the end of the world, literally, they call it El Fin del Mundo, Ushuaia, drinking, of course, what else is there to do? And I met this guy at the bar. He's here right now. His name is Chris. He's in the audience. I won't point you out, Chris. It's cool. He said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm writing. No, but really, what are you doing here? And I said, no, really, I'm writing, and I'm writing this book. He said, where's it set? I was like, Cold Spring Harbor, Long Island. He said, that's my hometown.
Weird.
Racy, right? We had so many Beagle beers that night. It was incredible. This is called First Visit from Charles Darwin. My second week at the colony, Darwin visited. He wore a top hat and his beard dragged the floor. A trail of sand followed him. He put the soundtrack from the jazz singer on the flat screen. I gave him a beer and joined him in the living room. He didn't say anything. I didn't want to stare, but he was Charles Darwin and he was sitting in my blue chair. I sat on the ottoman in front of him and lit a cigarette. We sat there listening to Al Jolson. You're ashing in my beer, he said. You want one? I slid the pack of Winston's over to him. I shouldn't, he held out his hand. I'm dying. You've been dead, I said. It takes a while, he motioned to his mouth. For a second, I thought he wanted me to kiss him, and I was leaning in for it. I could smell his breath. Emma, give me a cigarette. I'm not Emma. For now you are, he said. I placed the cigarette between his lips. What are you doing here? I'm tired of walking the sand trap, he said. He took a deep drag. And you? It's free room and money. What's shaking in this town? It's whale season. I expected him to leap to his feet and bum rush the ocean. Aren't there any strip clubs? He said. It's quiet. A grocery store, a pharmacy, and a pub. Bloody hell, he said. Tell me about it. I guess you better sport the red mini skirt. Oh, it's too cold. You could lose your mind otherwise, he said. Thank you. We sat there face to face, smoking my cigarettes. He tilted his head back and closed his eyes. He was probably thinking of his glory days when he traveled by beagle and measured beaks. He was probably thinking of all the salt in the world, all the salamanders, all the giant sloths. Or maybe he was just thinking of one species, one animal he personally mapped and charted on repeat. Emma, for example. Maybe he was not thinking at all, just listening to blue skies and liking his top hat. We lost the paradise parrot, he said. 1927. So I'll read a couple of poems from my book, which is The Amputee's Guide to Sex. This is called Cur. Let them then say I was in pain, that dog, that persistent barking bitch. My love for you is obstinate as an itch in a body cast. And this is called The Gift. For my birthday, we fly to Louisville, where Holman has a real live leg waiting. He made an appointment with the doctor who sewed a hand on someone else. The leg is in a blue cooler, like the ones we drag out back on the 4th of July, except bigger and with a lock. I give Holman the same nudge as when we're at a party and I want to go. Other women stay longer at parties, he has said. I sign waivers and give up the fake leg. I point to Holman's zipper, ask if they have a better one of these too. Less veiny, more girth. We fly home with new parts. We tell everyone it was an accident in the Ford Escape and should be better in a few days. Now we can be happy. I always wanted to strip at the Kitty Cave on South Elm. Holman always wanted to drop pants in front of several women with the lights on. We have affairs. We are in love. I thought I'd take a brief moment for a public service announcement. Poem. My work keeps being about genetic engineering and what the hell is this country doing in regards to it. And then I was in the airport coming here from South Carolina and I saw this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
And I was terrified. Of course, okay, it says the case for killing Granny on the cover this week. And the editors say, oh, but we're being hyperbolic. Well, that may be, but this is straight up, you know, like a euthanasia cover. Or that's, like, what's going on. And, you know, I don't know if you automatically know it's hyperbolic. So it's of some concern. And then this is the the public service announcement poem, because I have a person in it named the Pillow Angel, and her case happened in about 2005. The poem is titled Reading with Big Logos. I'm reading a book on the Chicago World Fair, 1934, back when Hitler was, quote, beating us at our own game, end quote. Big Logos reads The Tempest, so at least other people have been there, and if you say Caliban at a party, you win. One subject you should not bring up at a party is the Pillow Angel. I tried. We sterilized a 9-year-old girl yesterday, and I'm supposed to act calm and poetic about it. We removed her breast buds and uterus. We wanted her to stay small, like a pillow. What could she say? She's a vegetable. To say something requires a thought, a time, a place, nerve cells in the brain. Once I forgot to take the pill. For a few days there was talk of what we would do, if I would go, if he would drive me, and how it would make us feel. Now I'm at the Chicago World Fair. I stand in line to see the well-bred babies. Is this history? I stop reading. Get off that island, I say. Who starts it? Whoever does. It's cold in this apartment. The chair more and some more. We're spent. Burn the evidence, someone says, and we do. This is another big Logos poem because I figure I just introduced him, so I might as well read another poem. He's like a reoccurring figure. And it's called Semi-Semi-Dash. The last time I saw Big Logos, he was walking to the quantum physics store to buy magnets. He told me his intentions. He was wearing a jumpsuit with frayed cuffs. I thought the cuffs got that way from him rubbing them against his lips, but he said they got that way with age. We had 2 more blocks to walk. Once I do this, what are you going to do? He asked. I wish you wouldn't do it, I said. Big Logos bought the magnets, and a crane delivered them to his house. After he built the 900 megahertz superconductor, I couldn't go to his house anymore because I have all kinds of metal in my body. I think if you love someone, you shouldn't do that. Build something like that on purpose, right in front of them. And this will be my last poem. I want to thank Summer so much for having us. I'm thrilled to be here. Actually, Andrew and I were at the Poetry of the 1970s conference at the University of Maine. Orano? Is that how you say it?
I thought it was Orno.
Orno, yeah. Which was close to Bangor or Bangor. I was like confused the whole time about pronunciation. And this poem, I'm really excited to have Ben Morav publish it in Lit. And I also want to plug while I'm at it, this magazine I think is spectacular called Pax Americana. And I have one more plug. I teach in South Carolina at Clemson, and we do a literary festival. This year it's on April Fool's Day, but it's for real. And you should all come down and crash it if you have any desire to visit South Carolina. It's going to be fun. This poem is called Goodbyes. Goodbyes start long before you hear them and gain speed and come out of the same place as other words. They should have their own place to come from, the elbow, for example, since elbows look funny and never weep. Why are you proud of me? I said goodbye to you 40 times. I see your point. That is an achievement unto itself. My mom wants me to write a goodbye poem. It should fit inside a card and use the phrase, "You are one powerful lady." There is nothing powerful about me, though you might think so from the way I spit. I don't want to say goodbye to you anymore. I heard the first wave was an accident. It happened in the Cave of the Hands in Santa Cruz. The 4 of them were drinking and smoking, and someone killed a wild boar, and someone else said, "Hey, look, I put my hand in it." Saying goodbye is like that. You put your hand in it, and then you take your hand back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was really great. Next, we have Janet Holmes. Hers is a periodical. The Janet Holmes Society's Delicate Lyricism and Backbone Journal. Published in Boise, Idaho, by Everywhere on Earth Press, 1974 until present. Call number PS3608.056A3-2009. I just realized that could be the wrong call number. Because it's a periodical, and I gave it the wrong cutter.
We don't even have call numbers for our periodicals.
You don't?
No.
Okay. Filed by title. Subject headings, absence, presence of, poetry, champions, American poetry, 21st century. Janet Holmes is author of The MS of My Kin, F2F, Humanophone, and other books. She teaches in the MFA program at Boise State, where she is also the editor of Asada Press. Here's Janet.
Yeah, we make it really low. Thank you. I was going to thank Summer, but she got my call number wrong. So I don't know.
Summer,
she
never tells
Thanks
you.
For trying, Summer. And thank you to all my fellow readers and all of you for coming out for this. I really appreciate it. I don't get to read in New York that often, so it's fun to do. I am reading from this book with the odd name of The MS of My Kin, and it looks like this because if you look really hard, it's erased from the poems of Emily Dickinson. And these are poems that are erased from the poems of Emily Dickinson that she wrote during the Civil War, the beginning of the Civil War, 1861 and 1862. And I erased them in order to reflect the beginning of the Iraq War. So, you'll recognize some of the situations and some of the people who speak in it, because it has many different speakers, from George Bush to an anonymous woman in a burqa. So,
that's all I'd say.
Also, the titles are numbers, and I'm just not going to read them because, you know, they're not going to mean anything out of sequence. So, martyrs, their company streaks upon a planet's air. Then two come. No. No. Dawn means risk, revelation, apocalypse, anguish again. The fall of who live there. They know the soul in pain, simple, like a panther dropped into a face suddenly. Death drills his welcome in. Found dead, the setting sun. Supremer, spangled, the one. It matters that the oil is gone. Cuckoo rules Britain, discerns a shining retreat, America, no trace of the thing that dazzled, men and feats swallowed up like blood the puppet just now quivered out. It, concernless, nods, decades of arrogance, nobody admiring. Captive, ashamed of that dishonor, bend low, again, voice at the door to justify he never saw this. The other's dog goes first to the vein, doomed to die unheard. Civilization never rebuked her. She was the keeper. Pity left her. Going to tell, tell, tell. They, you tell, were silenter. Begged to be ended. That day, the souls, that elected subterfuge carved away. Behold, the world bears another's name, if it be fair. The man, the woman, or a lesser superior qualified for our new tactics should have been blamed. Should have had the fear to understand the zeros learned to like power that smites and appalls, suggests the whip until death touches it, chanting, live. She tied the hoods to every shoulder to hide affronts the men, to hide what affronts the men. Elephant, look no further. Others show like jugglers' figures. It halts, denying it was. Hope is the tune without the bird, the chillest, strangest sunshine that once blazed in my gazing face. Now it turns away. There's a certain heft shadows hold, like death quenching the sky's candle for you. The dark might have been the camp, men and women passed into the desert, a day no soul was permitted to look at the grave. The oddity. We buried the jacket he buttoned in the mornings, the tie, the beads strung, service boots, an ear wrecked, and so appalling to know the worst, the truth. If we stop, just let others wrestle terrors or takeless sweep. Let's skip some of these. Mine, the election. Mine, 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 a steal. The lady peers beyond her mesh, contented. Think of it, lover. Face to face we'll say how midnight felt, how all the clocks stopped, the world was so cold. We look back at those old times to look at paradise. Possibility superior for an everlasting occupation, a solemn thing to hang the maker, the being you thought was finished. But your harvest, every sun, some lives. His business has been to fling sand. Get out of the way, I say. Would you be the fool to stay? The day of gold, of purple, of old as the world, and yet too near, candle flickering in the cold, trudging world, the cruel, smiling world. It's forgotten. The hands lifted supplicate. One be finished. The danger is upon the soul to go without challenging despair.